Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to you at this time, thanking you for what a great and wonderful and gracious God you are, to love us so much that you've given us your Son, who through him we have eternal life. Father, we just ask now that you would be with this service, be with Tim as he brings a message, that it might be a message that comes from you. We ask that you would be with the musicians as they bring the music to us, that we might worship you, that we might not just sing to be singing, but we might do it in worship to you. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the snow. We thank you for all things, because this is your world. You are still in charge, and you bring us what we need at the right time. Just be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Not a warrior, too afraid to lose, feeling qualified for what you're calling me to do. But Lord, with your strength, I've got no excuse. The broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, you fight for me. Be a champion, claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. Gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, Jesus. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. Won't stop until I see them fall. Gonna step up, stand out when you call. Jesus. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David. Lord, be my defense, so I can face my giants with confidence. I'll face my giants. nights with confidence. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, your heart is kind. All your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty, and you can't find a remedy. Just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. Can never fail, so leave it all behind and come to the well. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see living water has found in me, 'cause you've come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. 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 Leave it all.
Good morning, church. Who is excited to be here this morning after this rainy, not sure what was going to happen weekend? I know that that was one of those things. And for all of those who are joining us here today and the guests that have joined us, we just want to say welcome. My name is Pastor Tim. For those who don't know me, I'm excited that you're here with us. For those watching online and for those listening on the radio, we say hi to you as well. But before we get too far into today's message, let's take a moment and let's pray. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to worship and to praise you as a community, lifting up your name. Father, may we learn more about you this morning. May you open our hearts and our minds. Father, may you just speak to what we need to hear this morning. And on top of that, Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it just penetrates on where you desire it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning, we're going to be looking at forgiveness. It's that one thing that is never fun at times for a lot of people. It can be an extremely challenging and a difficult task at times, but it's such an important part of our walk with God when it comes down to forgiveness. Now, I want to be clear that this morning's message is going to be very difficult for some of you. It's going to be challenging in the fact that you're going to have to maybe think through some areas of your life. Because forgiveness is incredibly difficult. And it's not always a simple word choice or a simple thought that brings around this forgiveness. Contrary to popular opinion, the practice of forgiveness is not about condoning or making an excuse for other people's hurtful behavior. It's not about getting an apology or the showing of remorse from the person that hurt us. And despite what the books, movies, and the different novels and everything else tell us, and the newest love songs, it's not necessarily about making everything okay as if it never happened. Forgiveness isn't just about the little things either. We often can forget the little things without too much of a thought behind it. We can forgive them, but I'm talking this morning about the big stuff in life. I'm talking about the stuff that brought deep down pain in your life. The things that have cut deep. The things that we don't soon forget. Often these kind of hurts come from the people we care about the most. It's our spouses, our parents, our siblings. It's that friend that we considered family that has turned your backs on you. These are the people that bring the hardest hurts and the hardest ones to forgive. And we seem to hold on to these the most. You know, even within the church, we have fellow believers who may have hurt us in the past. These kind of sins and betrayal will often bring pain in us that we don't soon forget. Yet as believers, we are called to forgive each other. I asked a while back for some of you to write down some questions on things that you have about God, the Bible, Christianity, any of that. And I've gotten a couple responses, not a ton, but I've got a few. And one of them was about forgiving your brother or sister in Christ that has betrayed you. You know, someone that within the body of Christ who may act a certain way on a Sunday, but come Monday acts in a totally different way outside the church. And my encouragement to that question as we get into forgiveness is, first, you have to go talk to that person. The Bible's clear. You yourself have to go talk to them. And you are called to forgive them if they ask for forgiveness. And even if not, you still give it to them. Second, if that doesn't work, your next step is to come talk to the elders and myself. I just want to make sure we get that question answered. It was asked. That's where it is. You first go talk to them. Second, bring it to the elders and myself. And then after that, it's the following procedures. But the main thing is, we are called to forgive them, no matter what has happened. And if we flip over to the Bible this morning, we find an interesting passage, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter approached him and asked, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times?" Now, we may look at this passage and we may chuckle a little bit at the idea of only forgiving seven times. You know, who in here can admit that they've forgiven somebody more than seven times in their life? They've forgiven the same person way more than seven times in their life, even if it was for little things, right? And it's almost like, wow, Peter's being a little stingy here, only giving a little bit out there. How cold-hearted of him. You know, we often think about, we've given a lot more, but we're missing the context. You see, Peter, for the culture of the time, was being generous at his forgiveness. He was being generous by saying seven times. At that time, most of the rabbis, their pastors, their leaders, things like that, actually taught you only had to forgive somebody three times, and when they came around for the fourth one, you could write them off the Christmas list because there was nothing left for them. Okay? Because at that moment, they have proven that nothing is ever going to change and life's going to move on. I mean, you could speak bad about the person. You could hold the grudge. It didn't matter. You could let that bitterness pile up inside of you all day long. It didn't matter. So when Peter said seven times, he was being gracious. He expected Jesus most likely to go, wow, look at you, Peter. You know, stepping up more than double plus one. You know, that's not a small number. But Jesus did not respond that way. What Jesus actually said in verse 22, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. Their jaw would have dropped. I got to forgive them that many times? For you mathematicians out there, that's 490 times. Now, I want to be clear about something. Jesus did not mean 490. It was not an actual number that you had to forgive somebody, okay? 491, they're screwed. 490, I'm sticking with it. You know, that's not what Jesus meant. He meant that we should forgive someone over and over again, that we should constantly, no matter how many times they seek that forgiveness, we are called to forgive them and give that to them. We shouldn't carry that grudge against them. We shouldn't carry that within ourselves. So what is forgiveness? I know if I asked a lot of you guys about forgiveness, I'm going to get different answers. I'm going to get different things. One would be if I asked for what is forgiveness, you would say some people about forgiving other people. You would talk about forgiving other people, that we should forgive no matter what happened. And then some would even say forgive and forget. You know, I'm sure you've heard that phrase numerous times in your life. Which is easier said than done, let's be fair. Forgiving and forgetting is not always a simple task. While others would talk about God's forgiveness and the forgiveness that we've received from his son Jesus up on that cross. And even that is hard for some people because they look at their own lives and they're like, wow, what happened? How could Jesus forgive me? Look at everything I've done. They have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. One thing I've noticed in life is the people who've lived the roughest lives are normally the ones who give forgiveness the easiest. Where, honestly, a lot of times the people who've lived a simple life and have spent their entire lives in church often are the hardest to offer forgiveness. I wonder why. Forgive and forget. You know, as we dive into this forgiveness stuff, I want to look at this particular phrase, forgive and forget. It sounds great in theory. How many of your parents ever told you, forgive and forget? I've been told that, or just let it go. You know, it's like Frozen playing in the background of your life over and over and over again. Just let it go, okay? But it's not always that simple. In fact, it's not. It's a common phrase, but does it make sense? See, forgiving is not forgetting. Forgiving is not forgetting. And the idea of that thought process comes from Jeremiah 31, verse 4, which says, "For I will forgive their iniquities and never again remember their sin." That is where that phrase comes from. That's where we often think of forgive and forget. And it sounds good in there, and the language being used here is a word picture to emphasize God's grace in the fact that he's not going to hold us responsible anymore for the sin in our lives. That he's going to overlook our past. But it doesn't mean that God can actually forget. I mean, he is God. God's saying that, hey, that debt, that sin that you have against me, I won't hold you to it. I forgive you. Yet, God being God and knowing everything cannot actually forget something. You know, he's not me. I forget things. It goes against who he is, and God can never go against who he is. He knows everything, but what he's saying is he's not going to dwell on our sin anymore. He's not going to harp on that sin anymore. He's going to treat us, and he promises to treat us as if that sin was not there because it has been removed through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection up on the cross. That is the whole point of that. We are forgiven. Now, for us, it's a little more complicated for forgive and forget. I read somewhere this week, forgive and forget, quite simply, is psychologically impossible. Okay? As soon as you make up your mind to forget something, you can be rest assured you're not going to forget it. It's going to be sitting there in the front of your head, and every time you start thinking of something else and how you're going to forget this, it's just going to rest right there. You're going to sit there. You're going to study on it. You're like, let it go, let it go, let it go. I mean, you're going to go watch Frozen over and over again, but you're still not going to be able to let it go because it's going to be stuck there. It's kind of like that annoying song that won't go away no matter how hard you try. But it's there. And whenever we see that person or that person's name comes up that's done us wrong, we're immediately going to reflect right back on there, no matter how many times we said, we're just going to forget about it. And I'm sure many of you have tried to forget about certain things, some deep down pains in your life that you've experienced, some things in your life that you've just not been able to let go. And it just keeps coming back over and over. You know, because when we do forget something, it's unintentional. That's normally what happens. Rarely do we forget the wounds that have suffered in life. I'm sure many of you can think back even into childhood, and you can think of some wounds that you've never quite let go, that you can't remove from your mind. But it happens. You know, we may forget things as we get older, and certain areas get erased from our memory. But sin, for some reason, that's committed against us seems to sit there forever. If we continue down that path where we say we have to forgive and forget, an emphasis on the forget part, especially that forgetting part, can become emotionally damaging. Think about this for a second. If you tell someone that you forgive them and you go about life and you forget about that moment of what they did, and then suddenly something happens. You hear their name. You see them. Something similar happens, and you suddenly remember that moment. You may not be angry at them. You may not be upset with them anymore. You may have completely let the emotional part of it go, but the fact that you're dwelling on it at that moment, you are now sitting there beating yourself up that you didn't forget about it. Am I right? It happens. That's where that forgive and forget, yes, forgive. You're not going to be able to forget. Don't beat yourself up over that idea. Because we feel like hypocrites at that moment because we said we're going to forget it, and then we didn't forget it. So I want to encourage you, just we're called to forgive people, but it doesn't mean that you actually forgot what they did. Okay? And with that also, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean the pain just goes away. The thing that they did to you doesn't just go away. When someone has done something that cuts that deep down into your heart and betrays us, it doesn't mean that the pain and suffering disappears just because we forgave them. I read this week, the only way that we can stop hurting is to stop feeling. And the only way we can stop feeling is to die emotionally, which in turn makes us nothing more than emotionless robots. And when we become emotionless robots, we cannot truly love God or others like we're called to. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, the two greatest commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. How can we do that if we're nothing but emotionless robots? We can't. But when that pain doesn't just go away, we can find ourselves questioning on whether we forgive someone or not. Not forgetting and still feeling the pain doesn't mean you haven't forgiven someone. When we forgive someone, it means that we no longer hold that sin against them. Just as Jesus doesn't hold our sin against us anymore. Did you guys catch that? If we forgive someone, we're just not holding that sin against them anymore. When we forgive someone, it's a promise to not bring it up, what they did to us. And not to hold it over their heads. It's a promise that we won't use it as a tool to get our way or throw it back in their face every time we see them. When we forgive someone, it means that we will not use that sin to speak badly about them, to talk behind their backs about their mistakes. Instead, we promise to love them as Christ loves us. And we promise not to use that sin that they committed for self-pity, sitting there and reflecting on what that other person did to us. Just sitting there pouting because of what they did. And that can be hard, because some things that have happened to us are not easy to understand. You know, when someone hurts us or sins against us, what is our natural tendency? We want justice, we want revenge, right? That's where we're at. We just want to like strangle them. Justice is a key word in our society today. It's the idea that people get what they deserve, right? You hear it all the time. Society as a whole is trying to deliver what they believe is justice to anyone they don't like or anyone who hurt their feelings. I mean, we've got people being fired left and right for something they tweeted 5-10 years ago. You got people being kicked off of different areas. You got friendships and families breaking up because they don't like what somebody said and they got hurt their feelings. And justice has to be served. And if a person or a people group feel like they're being hurt, they're all out. And we, at times, do the same thing. We want to see that person suffer how we suffered. We often refuse to forgive because we want that justice. So we refuse to forgive others because we feel we're minimizing their sin. That moment that we don't forgive them, we're sitting there going, I don't want to do that because it'll minimize what they did. Don't you know what they did to me? So if I got hurt, they have to be hurt as well. Yet, that's not what we're called to do. It tells us in Romans 12:19 that we're not to seek justice on our own. Instead, it says, friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. Our job is to forgive others, not to seek the justice out on our own. You don't have to deny that the sin was committed. It doesn't even mean that you close your eyes to what happened or what hurt was done to you. It doesn't mean that it diminishes the gravity of what was done. You don't have to play it off as if nothing or it was no big deal. And I know many people who do that. When someone hurts them, they play it off as it's no big deal. But yet inside it bothers them. And you don't have to do that to be able to forgive someone. Instead, if we forgive someone, it simply means that we have turned it over to God and we're letting him be the judge and allowing him to be the judge and the avenger of it all. In Romans 12:17, it tells us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to what you do, to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. Even when people do bad things to us, we're called to repay it with good so that we're an example to the world around us. In verses 20 through 21, it says, But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on their heads. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. See, when we treat evil with good, it takes the wind right out of their sails. By doing a simple act of kindness in return, like providing a meal when someone is down, or other acts of compassion, we have no idea of what the outcome will be. It often will lead them to actual shame, and they might even see true repentance in their life. Because when a person deliberately keeps sinning against you and acting out against you, they have this expectation that you're going to respond similarly. The world is always expecting, like when someone goes up and punches someone, they halfway expect the other guy to punch him back, right? Like you're expecting the reverse coming through. Like you better make that first one count because it's coming back at you. But they lose that power when you don't. When you treat them with grace and mercy, they completely lose that power over you that they thought they had. And hopefully it'll open up that conversation for a door about Christ later in their life. You know, I had a gentleman I used to work with, and I've made a slight mention of him before, that him and I didn't get along. And I found Jesus in my time while I worked with him. And it was during that time that somebody started presenting Christ to him, and he had different things. And come to find out, he didn't have the money for a Bible. And we butted heads. We didn't get along. I was a little pain in the butt. I will fully acknowledge that leading up to that moment. But I ended up going out and bought him a study Bible, him and his wife. Not what he expected out of me. He broke down bawling that day because it was an act of kindness. And right now, he's a missionary. He's our brother in Christ. He's been baptized. And I'm not saying that to like, Greg, I've done plenty of dumb stuff too, where I should have handled it differently. But this is such a prime example of how I defused the situation because of God's grace in my life, and I forgave him for the things that he'd done to me. You know, we worked in sales together. We butted heads, trying to keep our customers, not letting others touch them. And we had that ability. I do want to point one very key thing out as we talk about this. If someone keeps hurting us, we are called to forgive them and not seek revenge. But that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to set boundaries in your life. I want to be very clear about this. You are allowed to set boundaries in relationships. Loving someone enough to not enable them to keep sinning, especially if you're the source of that sin, is still loving them. We need to sometimes set boundaries too with people who have anger issues, who if there's violence involved, or if they're anything like that, you are allowed to forgive someone and still set boundaries in life. You don't have to be the whipping boy all the time. Does that make sense? I just want to be so clear on that, because I do understand that sometimes the people we have to forgive, we should have no business ever being around again, depending on your situation. And we need to sit there and we need to pray for people. I have people in my life that I put boundaries on. And it's because we had to. It got to the point you had to. Often we avoid forgiving people because we want to avoid conflict. Saying to someone, I forgive you, you know, can open doors to many different things. When you say, I forgive you, some people are very thankful and gracious. Some people ask, for what? They have no concept of what they've done, and they'll deny it. But true forgiveness pursues restoration. That's what Jesus did for us. When he forgives us, he's restoring our relationship with the Father. Not just canceling out our sin, he's making it a way for us to return and get back together. And I know I said earlier, there are certain situations where you shouldn't, 100%, but 98% of the time, I have a feeling that we should be restoring relationships and letting people know that we have forgiven them. Romans 12:18, it says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. That means forgiving and seeking forgiveness for things that we have done wrong ourselves. So it is giving out forgiveness and asking for forgiveness. If somebody doesn't want to, you can't force them. But at least you've done your part if you seeked it out. And remember, if you ask for forgiveness, it doesn't mean everything's going to go back to the way it was. If you've ever had a spouse cheat on you, or you've ever had a friendship where things have gone completely awry, that relationship doesn't get restored overnight just because somebody says, I forgive you. It takes time, it takes energy, and it may never go fully back to the way it was before. But give it time, keep putting it in God's hands. So the question is, why forgive? Why forgive others? We're the ones who got hurt. Why do we need to forgive them? Well, first, God has forgiven us. He went as far as sending his own son to die on the cross, so that our sins are forgiven and our relationship with him can be restored. In Mark 11:25, it tells us, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven so your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoings. We are called to show the same mercy God has given us. It tells us in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. We are to forgive because Christ forgives us. And I understand this morning that there are some of you here who may struggle with forgiveness. And it doesn't always come easy. And I will admit, even for me at times, it's hard. Sometimes we want to hold on to that thing that was done to us. We want to hold on to it. We want to bear into it. We want to hold it there and not allow that forgiveness to come out. We think that if we hold on to that anger and that pain, it's going to hurt them more than it hurts us. That if we can sit there and we can focus in on it, they're going to be hurt more than us, and we can put this blockade up so that they can never hurt us like that again. But here's the issue. The more I know about Jesus, the more I learn about God, the more I study the Word of God, what I keep seeing over and over again is when He gives us instructions to do something, there's a reason why. And forgiving others isn't necessarily about the other person. Forgiveness is about ourselves for a moment. Let me explain. When you're sitting there and you're dwelling on what somebody else has done to you over and over again, what happens? You become angry, you become bitter, you become upset. And that starts becoming who you are in your nature, even if it wasn't beforehand. Have you ever seen someone go through something dramatic in their life and it completely changes their personality? I've seen it. It's the same thing when we've been deeply hurt, where I'm not talking like you had a little lie said. I mean deeply hurt that you're hanging on to, that you won't release. You become angry, bitter, upset, and you keep going out. Here's the main problem with that. Most likely, you're not even lashing out to the person who did it to you. You start lashing out to your loved ones, your friends, your family. You start lashing out to your coworkers, your church family, everything around. You start snapping at things that you've never snapped at before because you're holding on to that bitterness and anger. When Jesus tells us to forgive others, He's doing it because He knows what's good for us. He knows that when we truly forgive, we may not forget, but there's going to be this peace that suddenly comes about us. We're suddenly going to be able to relax and be able to be in His presence again. And we're not going to have that anger inside of us. We're not going to have that rage. You know, myself, when it comes to my father, my father was a drug addict. I don't know how many of you guys know this. I've mentioned this before, I believe. But that was a problem that he had. And I was angry at him for what he did to my family. But you know what? It took the moment of me going over to him one day when I hadn't talked to him in 6 months. It was after I found Jesus and I said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I may not agree with the choices you did in your life and how much it hurt my family, but you're still my dad and I love you." It took that step to start softening my heart and to start restoring what we had before. Was it overnight? No. But that forgiveness had to be given. That bitterness had to be removed from my life. And the only way it was going to be is if I offered the forgiveness. That I let it go. His response was going to be his response, however he wanted to do it. But God tells you to forgive people because He knows what's good for your heart. And He wants to restore that so that you can have that life that He's called you to live. Because I'm telling you right now, if you're holding on to it, there are other people that are suffering for that bitterness that you're holding on to in life. It is damaging other relationships that have nothing to do with that sin that was done against you. So this morning, I want to encourage you. If there's bitterness that you're holding on to, anger towards someone, let it go. Allow Jesus to fill that void. Turn it over to Him. Don't keep carrying that with you. It'll just ruin you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the opportunity we have to worship and to praise You. Father, thank You for the example that Your Son gave us and His willingness to die on the cross to make a way for us to return. And Father, thank You for not holding our sin against us, for forgiving us. Father, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to forgive somebody who's holding on to the bitterness in life, that they may learn to let it and turn it over to You. Father, that they may seek You in that peace that You deliver, and they may learn to just let it go into your hands, knowing that you're the one who's going to avenge it at the end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no
child of God. As you go out this week, may you search and examine your heart on what you're holding on to, and may you learn to forgive and release and just grow in knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Have a wonderful
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.